about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. Whenever there's a new piece of information that's unsettling, one of the things that you want to do is to find a way to make sense of it. And so you tell stories about it. And before you know it, you have all these people who are talking about this threat.
Right.
And now it's part of the public conversation.
He's Art Markman.
He's Bob Duke.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, responding to the threat of Ebola.
So as of this taping, there are three people in the United States diagnosed with Ebola. Probably, you know, 1,000 times more than that will get the flu in the same period, right?
Oh, I think the multiplier is even bigger than 1,000.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but that's not news.
Right.
Because the flu is common. And so we focus on these rare events. And it's not that it's not newsworthy, right? It is a dangerous disease that's been in Africa for a long time. And the fact that it is spreading around the world is something that deserves some degree of attention. But it's the reaction to that attention that matters, right?
And Art, using the word attention makes a really important point. What have we evolved to pay attention to? And something that is a threat, whether it's a real threat or a perceived threat, should get our attention, right? Mm. Then the next step, which often doesn't happen, is to assess how real and how likely a threat is that, right? Which is a different question.
Yeah. And it's not just the threat. It's also the novelty of that threat.
Exactly.
Because the flu is actually a much bigger threat.
Of course.
More people will die of the flu this year than will die of Ebola. But that's not new.
Right.
So the attention goes both to the threat and the novelty.
Right. And, you know, you think about having to assess risk just in our society today. I mean, you have people who genuinely are fearful about the news that they read about Ebola, yet many of those people don't get a flu shot and don't vaccinate their children. And the reason is because measles seems like something very distant. There's no measles in the news right now. So the disproportionate amount of attention that's being paid to things that are generally unlikely is both understandable and misleading.
Yeah. So why do we respond like this? What is it about our nature that allows us to go to this place of irrationality?
We now live in a world where very distant and remote things can be brought electronically to our immediate present and create fear when there's really a great distance between the actual thing to be afraid of and us. And that's one half of it. Mm.
But the other problem that comes into this is that we talk in terms of probability. What we encounter in the world on a daily basis is actually frequencies of things. You don't look out at the world and say, well, the probability that I'm going to encounter someone who has got dark hair is 0.3. You walk by and you think, wow, a bunch of the people I walked past had dark hair.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so whenever anything rests on just a probability, we kind of ignore all that numerical information and focus on something else, like the threat associated with the event.
Right.
And threat is an interesting thing. When does it happen that we conflate these ideas of Ebola with other threats, like ISIS and these kind of existential threats on our life?
So one way to think about this is anytime that there's some threat in your environment, it affects you in two ways. The first is you may create what's called an avoidance goal for that threat. Okay, so if I'm worried about something at work, for example, then I might have a particular goal to avoid a calamity at work. And then on top of that, having gotten myself steeled to deal with this potential calamity, I'm now actually more sensitive to calamities in general.
Yeah.
Right? Because this avoidance motivation creates a general mode of avoidance. And so if I'm already worried about some things, now it's easier for me to get worried about everything else. And so in a world that has, you know, that has ISIS, that has all kinds of other threats in it, when an additional concern comes up like Ebola, we're primed, we're ready to be thinking about that.
We probably should add, this isn't to minimize the tragedy of people who are affected by things that are tragic, you know, whether it's Ebola or somebody going berserk with a weapon or whatever it happens to be. But But what's interesting about it is that fear wasn't selected for because it didn't have any advantage. I mean, there's a survival advantage to fear. The problem comes in now that we have language, now that we have ways of communicating with other people in the absence of experience. Remember, I mean, fear evolved when what fear was doing was responding to experiences that we had. Well, now we have all these vicarious experiences that we can read about or listen to on the radio or watch on television. And now there's an opportunity to be fearful of things that are nowhere near our immediate experience.
Right. And so it's not just language that did it. It's our ability to communicate across large distances.
Yeah, right.
Because actually, if I was in a tribe of 100 people and somebody came across something fearful and then told me about it, there's a pretty good reason for me to be fearful about that as well, because
exactly.
It's in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But television allows me to bring the entire world
right.
into my living room. One of the problems with the 24-hour news cycle that I think feeds into this notion of mass hysteria is that we are so focused on the negative. I mean,
we
occasionally you get the feel-good news story. But I think that one of the things that we need to really think about is, you know, to what degree do we want to be surrounded by information about what's gone wrong in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that, you know, there's a very good reason why news networks focus on that, because as Bob was saying earlier, threat gets our attention.
Yeah.
But it creates this persistent mode for us in which we're constantly concerned about the things that are going wrong in our world. And we need to find ways to balance that out. I mean, a good reason to shut the news off is to begin to surround yourself with somewhat more positive stories about the human condition.
That's a great point.
And those go on all around you.
Yeah.
Next week with Two Guys on Your Head, Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke will talk about why we respond to fear with humor. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org. We're also on iTunes, iTunes U, and Twitter at the number 2, G-O-Y-H. I'm Rebecca McEnroe, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head here at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.